If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, brought to you by the friends and family and sponsors of Merit Assembly of God on Merit Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street, just two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And we would like to wish you a happy day after Christmas, Boxing Day. If you are from England, it's a national holiday there. I was watching television the other night, and they were talking about all of the European football games that they will be having going on. And I was like, wow, on Boxing Day even. And so I hope you're out there. And if you are exchanging gifts or using gift cards, be very careful as you travel about the roadways today, and really enjoy the time that you have with your family. I know my wife is taking some time off, and so we're trying to decompress from all of the holiday stuff. And now it's on to the finish line here for the end of the year. And when I was doing a little bit of jogging, you know, they always taught us to finish strong. You just didn't want to coast to the finish line. You wanted to leave everything that you had out there on the playing field. And so with 2014 winding down, just a few more days until this year is over, let's set it as our heart's desire to finish strong for the King. Today we want to give a shout out to Bill Andriak and Creative Air Conditioning Solutions. You can be reached at 759-3284, 759-3284, and they are our sponsor of the day. If you have any air conditioning or heating problems, 759-3284. And by the way, these are businesses, and we just want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Even from the very earliest time that I came to Merit Assembly of God, we only had a handful of people in the church 22 years ago, but we've always had it as our desire to be a blessing to the community. And so when the county was renovating the streets in our neighborhood and they didn't have a place to park their equipment, we allowed them to use our parking lot as a storage for their heavy equipment during their renovation process. And that went on. I said, you know, the only thing is we need it out on Friday so that we can have use for it on Monday. And they accommodated. And here's what I've discovered after 22 years of pastoring the church, and that is, if you will be a blessing to other people, God is going to make sure that you are blessed. And so with our eyes set on finishing strong this year, let's finish strong in faith. Let's finish strong in evangelism. Let's finish strong in worship. Let's finish strong in learning. Let's finish strong in giving. This last Sunday, I preached a message. It was my Christmas message. And one of my children, I don't remember which one it was afterwards, it was one of my two girls, and they said, "Dad, I haven't seen you that excited about a message in a long, long time." And I love the Word of God, but God had given me some fresh Christmas insight. You know, holiday messages for a pastor can become a little bit challenging because you are sharing from passages of Scripture about a topic that people have heard about over and over and over again. But I am so thankful that the Word of God is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, and that God has so much more in there than what we have seen thus far. And so let's finish strong in learning this year. I shared something. In fact, I was all ready to go in the message, and I was in my prayer time before I went up to preach this last Sunday, and God spoke something to my heart just as I was going over, and it was, I probably interrupted the Sunday school class because there was just a real loud hallelujah that that came out of my mouth because God had just shared something to me that was absolutely precious. And so we encourage you to make plans now to be at your local church this weekend and worship the King with believers of like faith, and let's finish strong. So we have been talking about the kingdom here for quite some time. I thought I was going to be able to get this through in one broadcast today, but we're probably going to carry this over until Monday as well. And so for those of you who may have gone through some difficulties, some personal challenges, some family challenges during this holiday season, I want you to know that we are praying for you, that the God of all comfort would be with you, and that you would know the presence of God, that He is with you. He will lead you. He will accompany you through this time. And we've got several families that we have been dealing with over the past week or so. And I just want you to know that we are praying for you and that Jesus still has you in the palm of His hand. So today, let's start by looking at what life inside the kingdom of God looks like. We've already talked about how the kingdom of God is worth more than everything. It should be our highest priority, but we have to seize it. We've got to have a mindset that is more than just putting in our time. I've got written down here on my, we need an entrepreneurial mindset. We need a businessman's type mindset where we just go and we put our shoulder to the plow, and with the help of the Spirit of God, we make things happen. My faith is encouraged by historical figures who believed in God and in His faithfulness and His provision, and they went and they saw impossible things take place. That the kingdom of God is intended to work throughout our whole being, our whole nature. That the heirs of the kingdom of God, they have as their aspiration to do the will of God. They practice and they teach God's command. They don't just teach without practicing. They don't just practice without teaching. They do both. They practice and they teach the king's commands. And also, people inside the kingdom are people who are transformed from insignificance, from obscurity, from smallness. They are transformed into becoming and being a great blessing to everyone around them. So those are things that we talked about Monday and Tuesday of this week. Now let's look back at Matthew chapter 21, and let's look at verse number 42. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures," and then this is Psalm 118, "the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And it goes on to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." That's where that passage comes from. That last little bit is not here in Matthew chapter 21. But I just want you to know that today, because of what Christ has done, in spite of the circumstances that you may be dealing with right now, you can still rejoice because your Savior has become the chief cornerstone. And it is a marvelous, glorious thing in our eyes. In verse number 43, it says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." I want you to see from this passage of Scripture that people who are living inside of the kingdom, they have a connection with the King. In another passage, it talks about the branches abiding in the vine. The branches are unable to produce fruit on their own, but when they abide in the vine, by the very nature of the connection, those branches become fruitful. And the same is true in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, if you and I are living in the kingdom of God, we are going to be fruitful. We should be producing, first of all, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long sufferings, the gentleness, the kindness, the goodness, all of those things that you find in Galatians, you should be producing. Your emotional demeanor should be transformed because of the abiding presence of Jesus Christ in your life. We should also be producing a witness and a testimony, a spreading forth of the light of Jesus Christ. We should be winning people to Jesus. We should be sharing our testimony. We should be ministering in the love of Jesus Christ. If all we have is an intellectual grasp of the Word of God, then we are shortchanging ourselves from what God wants to do. He wants to make us productive in His kingdom. The reward that almost every believer that I know wants to hear God say is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And if you read the parable where those words are uttered, they were uttered to a steward who was entrusted with his master's riches, and he put those riches to use the same way that the master would have, and he experienced a harvest. He experienced a season of productivity just like the master would have. And the master, when he returned, he said, "Well done." Well done. Not just well-being. Listen, a Christian is about being. But we because of who we are, we should be able to do. James talks about, "I will show you my faith by my works." It is not that we do to earn our salvation. We do, we produce, we bear fruit because of the salvation, because of who is living inside of us. Jesus is going to have disciples that will go forth and produce much fruit, fruit that will last. If you look in the Old Testament, you are going to find that when Joseph was sold into Egypt, that once he ascended and gained a position of prime minister in the land, that Pharaoh gave him a wife, and she bore Joseph a son. That firstborn son's name was Manasseh, which means God has made me forget. He has made me forget some of the troubles that I've had going on. And today, if you have had some very difficult seasons in your life, I pray today that God will cause something to take place in your life, that you will be so overwhelmed with the blessings that you will forget some of the pain that has gone on in your life. Things that might have seemed very traumatic. One day my wife and I were having a conversation, and she was remembering something good that I had done. And it was so fresh in her mind that it actually brought her to a point of tears. She was just so thankful. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even remember what I had done. And it was something that just meant the world to her. And I've learned one thing. I don't argue with my wife's memory. When she remembers something, she remembers it. She can tell you outfit. She can tell you the number of people that were in the room, what their cologne they were wearing, pretty much just about. She remembers things in vivid detail. So I was like, "Wow, baby, I don't even really remember doing that." And so I just pray for you today that if right now this Christmas season has been an extremely painful season, maybe you have been betrayed by those that should not have betrayed you. Maybe you've been wounded by those that were supposed to love you. Maybe you're just going through a real difficult heartache right now. And I just want to let you know that the King has provided something for you that is greater than your pain. And I pray that He helps you. He makes you forget some of that pain today. Then she bore Joseph a second son. And that second son was named Ephraim. Ephraim became more powerful, more significant, more numerous, more famous than his older brother Manasseh. And this is what I love about the name Ephraim. Joseph named him Ephraim because Ephraim means double fruit, double fruit. And God can make you fruitful, naturally fruitful and supernaturally fruitful. And so I want you to know that people in the kingdom of God, by very nature, we should be productive. We should be fruitful. God intends for us to be fruitful. And so a lot of times we'll go through pruning situations in our life, not because God hates us or just wants to inflict pain on us, but because he knows that the end result is there is going to be more fruitfulness that comes. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 29, a lot of people really like to focus on Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 11th verse. And it is a great verse. It's a great promise. I don't want to diminish that at all. Let me read to you what verse number 11 says. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Those are tremendous promises. But there is an interesting thing that they receive as an instruction from Jeremiah before that promise comes to pass. And a lot of times people don't focus on the instruction. They focus on the promise. We like to focus on the benefit, not necessarily our responsibility. We like to focus on the promise and not the condition to the promise. But let me take you back to verse number 4 of Jeremiah chapter 29, where it says this: "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." Let me take you up just a little bit further. If you could look in Jeremiah chapter 29 for yourself. What was going on is there were people who were instructing the people in captivity, just bide your time, just hold on. Don't worry about getting too comfortable in this place. Don't worry about being fruitful in this place or being productive. You don't have to worry. This is only a short-term encounter, and then God is going to take us back. And Jeremiah said, "Look, this is something that I have caused to happen, and I want you to be fruitful in this place. Do not just sit around twiddling your thumbs, with, you know, kicking back and relaxing and enjoying the scenery and all of that. Be productive there. Be a blessing. Pray for the peace of that place." And there are a lot of scholars who believe that because of the influence of the godly captives that had been carried away into Babylon, that it was those people who sowed the seeds that years later, decades and decades later, hundreds of years later, that it was going to be those people who had touched the people of captivity And it was going to be them that gave birth to the wise men, who, when they saw the star, they said, it's time to head for Jerusalem. It's time to head for the promised land, because we've been talking about this Messiah that was going to come. And so I want to encourage you today. You want to be productive and produce fruit for the King right now. If you are living in the kingdom of God, you should be a fruit-bearing person. If I can just talk to you right now, there are so many different ways to produce fruit. You can produce fruit on your job just by being a person of righteousness, a person of integrity, a person of joy, a person of peace. It will spread the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus to people. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi who said, preach often, use words when necessary. And let your light just and your life just testify to the glory of God. Here, a little over a week ago, or almost a week ago, I was at a memorial service, and there was testimonies about this lady who was living in an assisted living facility. And you would think that when you're that close to the end of your journey, and when she moved in, she was only months away from her promotion to eternity. You would think, well, I really don't need to be too productive here. But what we learned in that memorial service was that she had touched other residents there to such a point that they were moved by her generosity, that the people who worked in the facility, that they were impacted by the godliness of this lady, that her family was impacted, her friends were impacted, those that she worshiped with were impacted in a positive way. Whatever circumstance you are in, even if you are in a job that is less than thrilling for you, it may be beneath your skill set, it may be beneath your pay grade, but recognize the divine positioning of God and say, God, I have no idea what I'm here for, but I tell you what, you've got a lighthouse that is going to warn people of the dangers ahead right here. I will spread the light and the love of Jesus Christ. Be fruitful. Produce fruit that will remain. I first came to Brevard County 25 years ago, a little over 25 years ago now. Knew absolutely no one. Moved here because I got a phone call. A company that I'd worked for said, we'd like you to go to Melbourne. And I said, Australia? And they said, no, Florida. And I didn't even know Melbourne, Florida existed. And so I told them, I said, well, let me pray about it. I called my wife and she said, I've already been praying, and this is the hand of God. And so we said, yes, we packed up our belongings and we headed for Florida. By the way, there was a pay cut involved in that too. Not everything is always going to, you know, when you shift gears in a car, a lot of times your foot comes off of the accelerator so that you can push in the clutch so you can engage into the next gear so you can eventually go faster. And so I thought that that was what was going to take place. I didn't realize at that point in time the divine positioning of God. A year and a half after we got here, a year and 6 months after we got here, a year and 5 months after we got here, we got word that our company that had moved me here, that they were going out of business. They leased a shoe department inside a department store, and they had just lost that lease. And so we got word such and such a date is going to be the last day that we are in business. And what's going to happen is we are going to close stores in a staggered process. Stores that are not producing very well, we're going to close them earlier, and stores that are being very productive, we're gonna go ahead and keep those open as long as possible. And so I went to my staff and I told them this. I said, the bad news is we've just got word that they are closing our store. And I said, but today we have a new goal that is set before us. And that is y'all are going to make a lot of money over the next several weeks because we are going to be having a going out of business sale. They got paid by commission. I said, you are going to really have a financial windfall. I said, our goal today is to be one of the stores that closes on the very last day of business. And I said, and so we came together and we said, you know what? We are going to be fruitful. The day that going out of business sale started, we walked in. I only had about four or five employees total that worked the shoe department, and we worked staggered shifts. And when they threw open the doors that day, it was like just a massive stampede of people. And I went to our employees and I said, look, we've got to do something different than we've ever done before. This is not every man for themselves. We are going to all be blessed today. And we started running that shoe department that day like a big city delicatessen. And there was somebody taking orders, and there was somebody going and getting the shoes, and there was somebody ringing up customers. And at the end of the day, we just divided up all of the sales evenly according to the number of hours that people worked. And it was, we decided, you know what? We are going to set aside all of our personal aspirations, and we are going to be fruitful. We're going to produce fruit. And we made it all the way to the very last day that our company was in business. And my people, they probably made way more money than I did during that time. But I was so proud of them that under adversity, they chose to be fruitful. Today, if you are a child of the King, you are meant to be a soul winner. You are meant to be a teacher. You are meant to be a person of joy. And so today, let's end up this week with that concept. Father, I want to thank you that you do all things well. And I know that there may be some adversity and some challenges that have come people's way. But God, I pray today that you would produce fruit in each of our lives today, that it would be fruit that would last because we abide in you. God, I pray today that you would make us all as fruitful as we could possibly be for the glory of Jesus Christ. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday here
on
Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Completely free. Set this.